Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donnelly view system, Diolis. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
With the new Chevy Silverado, you might be driving in this. But with the Silverado's redesigned interior and large infotainment screens, it'll feel more like this. Introducing the new 2022 Chevy Silverado. Find new upgrades. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
It is the Blue Room. It is the day after, the night before Everton lose. 4-1 at home to Liverpool. Liverpool's best derby win, or biggest derby win, I should say, since 1986. Certainly not the best because of the Everton team they were playing against there. I would encourage people, if you want the raw, anger, expletive-laden podcast, go and listen to the post-match show. Keith Tomlin, in particular, was in marvellous form on that, along with Mark Mosey and Matt Flusk. I am joined now for probably a bit more of a measured conversation about what happened, well, by the time this goes out, around 24 hours ago, with Dave Downey. Dave, how are you feeling after all that last night, mate?
It's difficult to feel as despondent as I have in the past when we've lost derbies, because I think many of us, when we did the Spaces thing, which again, we're going to do a lot more of, aren't we? We seem to really enjoy it, and everyone did, even though it was quite cathartic. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I expected that feel. There was nothing that happened in that game, probably apart from us scoring a goal, that I didn't really expect too much. I thought some half-decent efforts. I thought Rondon was probably the only person, the only player, and obviously Gray with his goal, to come away from that with, you know, any sort of positive vibes. Whereas everyone else did exactly what we predicted. Exactly, not predicted maybe, but what you thought or feared might happen. I felt the way we lined up and things like that, a lot played right into their hands. And I know I have been reluctant to criticise Benitez as much as other people have, but when I look at when Trent gets the ball on the right-hand side and it's basically Gray and Dean behind him lining up, and Salah could smell blood from the start, and he just ventured over to that side, and that's where he scores that peach of a goal to make it 2-0. It just looked like we were so naive in certain parts of the pitch. And then there was all the sort of like ugly scenes that we feared, but like I say, probably expected to happen towards the end, going through the motions of this is Everton at the moment. This is the Everton that we know, and a lot of people are really, really angry about, and rightly so. Usual type of scenes you see, well, probably more than what I expected to see from fans sort of screaming towards the director's box at the end of the game, as the players are going off the pitch. A lot of ugly scenes. Things that you don't want to see.
It's understandable, though, isn't it, Dave? You know,
it's perfectly. I'm not saying that as in like people acted out of order. I tell you what, mate, we're football fans who pay money to go to a football match. It's often a well discussed thing, isn't it? Since time began, about football fans going to football matches and what they expect. Do they expect entertainment? Do they expect the team just simply win and they don't care how it happens, but they win games? Each of us have got our own thoughts and feelings, what you want to see when you go to a football match, like any way you want to be entertained in life when you go and see a film or whatever. But with our club, and I think it was really well said from Mosey last night on the piece that's on the Twitter, the Blue Room Twitter, when he's talking about, you know, this is, we almost deserve this from the way in which we've gone about things in years gone by. did any of us really expect this to be any different? And there was always a sense of an inevitability in this match and the way it played itself out. But those people who are screaming things, and I don't know if you've seen the video, I think somebody got, I think it was Neil Jones, who got that piece where there's a fan basically just screaming at Brands as he's walking out of the directors. And he stops to talk to him, fair play, but you know, he's obviously swearing at him in his face. And
I don't think he was swearing at him. He was just angry, wasn't he? He was just angry.
I mean, he swore at him, and I don't know what Brands or anybody in that director's box would expect. And I think Brands asked him a question of, do you think that's just the players or something like that along those lines? I think if you listen to it really carefully,
weird thing to say.
It's almost like I do my job, mate. It's somebody else's fault. And do you know what, mate? That really scares me to hear something like that, because I remember when I went down to Watford a few seasons ago when Silver was still in charge, and we had a chat with Brands as he was coming out, because I parked my car right at the back of Vicarage Road. There's a hospital next to it there. And he come out to get hit in a car that obviously he was getting a lift or whatever he was going off to. And he had a tiny little chat with us. You know, we lost 1-0, and I was like, what's going on there? And he was shaking his head and stuff like that. Typical things you'd expect from a fan. And as a director of football, he's obviously not happy with what he's produced, the players that are at the football club. This one last night, though, was very, very concerning for me, because him saying, do you think that's just the players? It's ambiguous, yes, but it's not exactly... we're all in this together. We know how bad things are, but we're going to work hard to sort it out. Similar to the line that Mascheri did in his, heaven forbid, once again, his text to Jim White. I know we're going to that, but yeah. Hearing him speak like that, I thought, oh, that is not good. Obviously, it's not good anyway in the circumstances that we're in right now, but it's not good to hear somebody basically bat it away a little bit and say, you know, I'm doing my job, but obviously there's some of the stuff going on that I can't affect.
Well, you sort of look at that. Sorry to interrupt you, but you sort of look at that video, and when Brands responds to that fan, and the fan said, I can't remember what the fan says back to him exactly. He just walks off, doesn't he? And it's almost like he said something and thought, oh, I shouldn't have said anything there.
I shouldn't have said that, and it's almost,
you know. It's almost like you go on Twitter to post something after the game when you've had a couple of pints and think, actually, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to delete that tweet and just log off for a little bit because I need to calm down. It was like that was the equivalent of what he did, wasn't it? It was sort of like I need to go away before I get too emotional and say anything else.
Well, it was. That's exactly. That's spot on. I think that's how I felt. And watching it, I thought, as soon as I saw it, I thought, this is going to get ugly. Someone's going to throw a dig here or something like that. Because the guy's literally, you know, not even a foot away from him, isn't he? They're both on either side. It's just one little thing that just keeps them barred away from each other. And for him to say that, because obviously you look at the context of everything that's going on right now, he's got to have stuff in his mind to say to people when they speak to him. It's not like he can go to a 40,000 fan place and not be expected for fans to approach him or speak to him or him have to say something back. I mean, you've got to be ruthless not to say a word, you know, probably get kids coming up to him asking for his autograph, all that sort of thing. He knows that's going to happen. So surely you have something prepared, surely you have a response, or at least what he did there. It's like that situation. Have you seen that episode of Friends where Ross is like, I think it's his stepsister or something like that comes to stay with him one night, and he tries to kiss her. And
his cousin, isn't it? Yeah, it's his cousin.
I've literally just watched that episode, and she comes back and says, "What are you doing?" And in his head, it just goes, "Say something, say something." And he goes, "It's a long time since I've had sex." And then he goes, "Yeah, you should not have said anything." It was almost like that. Because I'm like, when he said this, I'm like, Brands, what you've done is raise a load of other questions. And obviously for us, we do a podcast every single day talking about these things. And obviously it's a big sort of talking point to start this with, Matt. But for him to say what he said, I don't think that'll have gone down well with the rest of the board if they had a chat after this, even if they did. I mean, I probably would have thought they didn't have a chat, because it doesn't look like they're together or coming up with anything sort of solution that we need to get these things sorted and get the football club right now. But for him to say that, whether he's thought of it previously or whether he frustrated himself, because that's what it sounded like to me when he says that, it's almost like, well, what else can I do? Do you know what I mean? Mm. Every single one who's listening to this right now, and both me and you, there's plenty I'd like to say to him. I'm certain everybody would. But for him to come out with that, just, I think, it epitomises what is going on at this football club right now, is that we're just a ship with no sails. You just don't know what direction this is going in, who's in charge, who is making these decisions. All the sort of stuff we've said in the past has come right up to the surface once again. And now we're staring at what a manager that's going to still be there. No, you want to move on to that in a sec, with the Mascheri comments or WhatsApp message to Jim White, which is really, really, really weird, horrible. And then we've got these fixtures coming up to Christmas and the New Year. So I'm not putting my tree up yet, mate, anyway.
Oh, no, mine's not up yet either. I've not got it in me. It's just, I left after the third goal last night, because, you know, I would have gone on 2-0, but my dad gave me a look as if to say, come on, that's too much.
Yeah.
But I went after the third goal last night, so I didn't really see any of the scenes at the end. But I was, you know, you see all the journalists who are at the ground saying, you know, there's chance to sack the board, and there's people, you know, trying to speak to people in the director's box. And I was happy to see that. And obviously, there's the banner in the Gladys Street again. That's been there for two games in, you know, a row now. So that sort of thing is good to see. But I think when it comes to people like Brands, Dave, it's just, it goes back to communication. And you said, it's something that we're going to come on to talk about. But nobody knows what this fella does. And he sits at the front of the director's box, best seat in the house, every single week in that stadium. And ultimately, when you're a director of football in title, but we don't really know what you actually do in terms of your role. And when people see that on the pitch, and it's not just last night. Everton got levered by a really good side last night. Let's have it right. There are chasms and oceans between these two teams. But last night was the cherry on top, wasn't it? What has been a rotten spell. And when you're sat there in that seat, having been given a new contract in the summer, and have built this, built this ramshackle of players that's on the pitch at the moment, and you don't come out and explain to people what your idea is, what you're thinking is, why you've gone for this player, what you actually do, then that's going to, you know, it leaves a void, doesn't it? That's only going to be filled by mistrust and with the sort of anger that we saw at the end last night.
Well, yes, but the other side of this that I try and keep in my head is how these people work, how they speak out, the communication side of things, like you say. That to me is the much more annoying thing, that it always comes to the front of my head when these situations happen, that I'm thinking, okay, what's your response here? You've been in this situation several times. There's a guy at that club in Bill Kenwright who's been there for decades, and yet they're still not coming into a plan. They're still not forming a plan where they can give a response to fans. The idea has always been silence. It's always been silence forever, up to the point of Mascheri coming in and getting to do what he does these days, which is making things even worse, making people more irate than what they actually are for what's happened on the pitch. I really do wonder, you know, they obviously communicate with each other, the people on the board, and they obviously have meetings. I don't know, it's monthly or, you know, every Monday morning, like a lot of businesses do, or there's a WhatsApp. I can't imagine what they say to each other. I can't imagine where the football club comes to a situation that we're in right now and how we've got to this point, what the level of responsibility, communication, all of those buzzwords I think that businesses talk about when they appoint people and stuff like that, when people get jobs and CEOs and all of that sort of thing, that side of business, corporate stuff, you know, what's happened for it to come to this point? Yet they're all sitting together and showing a face to the public that seems like they're all obviously not happy. I wouldn't expect them to be happy
It's like Succession, isn't it, Dave? You know, put forward this view of this united sort of front. Whenever, you know, to the world, you know, they're all sat there together on the same page, all apparently pulling in the same direction. But everyone looks at it and thinks, really, these have all got their own agendas here. There's no way these are all on the same page. Yeah. They're all pulling in different directions. After this latest shambles is finished, they're all going to be going to their respective people in the media. You know, Bill Kenwright will be going to the people we know that he's with. Marcel Brands will be going off to the Dutch media, I imagine, in the next couple of days. Farhad Moshiri has already done it by going to his. You know, it's so naive to think that this is, you know, everyone's on the same page. And there's that piece from Paddy and Greg in The Athletic this morning. I don't know if you managed to read that yet, but
I haven't seen it yet.
I was reading through it and I was just like, there's just so much deceased and there's so much sort of backstabbing and there's so many people with their own agendas and so many people trying to, you know, put forward that they're not responsible for this. And when you've got all that meshed together, I was just reading this thinking, This sounds like Sunderland. This sounds like QPR. This sounds like any other catastrophe club we've seen in recent years. And it just needs completely refreshing and completely sorting out, because I don't know. It just feels as though there's so many people going in so many different directions and it's going to rip the clubs to shreds.
Well, I mean, again, I think we are going, we're in danger of repeatedly going over what's gone on here. But, you know, how can you not, because of what happened on the pitch? And, you know, you talk about Sheary's the man who can change this. I said it the other day in that, in the other podcast earlier, I said it yesterday in the Spaces chat we had, that, you know, he's the man who can change things immediately if he wants to. And the other thing that I've started going towards, and I'm not too sure where that comment came from, where it says he spends 8% of his time looking at Everton. Well, you know, there's an issue straight away. Is this a guy that is daily got his hands on this football club, looking at what's going on inside? Is he getting the data? He'll no doubt get sent an email every now and then with the information that most people will think that he needs to see or that he'll want to see. The problem is, this guy seems to have a say on what happens, even with signing players, possibly even how we play. You know, you can imagine when Big Sam come along that he was well into all of that sort of thing about, you know, who he thinks should start games, what players should be on the bench, stuff like that, which is very, very dangerous. I think clubs all over the country, there are certain ones, aren't there, who will have had that issue. You know, get people who own football clubs getting their hands involved in areas they really, really shouldn't, and it should be experts who do that. Everton are beyond that. Everton are further down that difficulty, because, you know, what he's actually employing as experts, in inverted commas, they're not doing their jobs either. So it's like it's a double hit. Then it's just the simple thing where, I don't know, you think of Ridsdale at Leeds and stuff like that, who's put money into a point and then probably thought, well, I've put that money in and I deserve to be the person who decides certain things as well as the manager. Well, that's not the case. That's not how it works. And I've done a lot of conversations with people on Twitter today about this. And I think a couple of lads who we've had on our shows in the last few days might have said the same thing. You know, football clubs shouldn't be really difficult to manage. They shouldn't be difficult to... Yes, make a success of possibly is difficult, because then you do need expertise in certain areas to get you to win things. But for them to actually be something that is an entity that does what it's meant to do, that part shouldn't be that difficult. I reckon I could go in there. I reckon most fans could go in there and do the same thing these people that are in there right now are doing. You know, maybe not the recruitment side of things, or maybe they could do better brands the way in which we're looking now, but you can't say that we've got people in charge. You think, I know why that person's there, because they're the best person that can do this, or one of the best people in that field who can do this particular thing. I can't say with any confidence that there are any of them there. That a lot of other people who are really upset about Everton right now couldn't do the same thing, you know. And that's why we're in such a mess. We've got somebody who owns it today, and I think we'll move on to this now, Matt. I think it's probably the time to talk about him yet again, going to his friend Jim White and putting today's text message, Matt. I think he's done a couple of texts in the past, but he's done a few calls. But
he's upgraded from doing notes on his iPhone.
That's it. He couldn't be arse ringing up today, which showed you where he is mentally. And somebody replied to me before saying that he thought it was harsh that I mentioned Mascheri in that sort of context of this guy, is he bothered? Well, I can't see much. I know he's going to be there. I think the Echo have said, haven't they? The brilliant Echo guys have said he's there on Monday for the Arsenal game. I mean, he's got some bottle. He really has. I know he's obviously going to be protected and all that, and security around him and stuff like that. But a bit like the way Ken Wright was, he's just going to be surrounded by hatred. And people are annoyed, are going to say things. And that's no excuse for the way some people talk towards these people who are human beings at the end of the day. But, the other side of things is, and probably the main side of things is, this is our football club. You know, we're going to be here when they're not. When they leave, when they sack someone, when the manager moves on, when the players move on, we're going to be the ones that are here. At least, have some respect. And again, there's an irony. I think if any of them were listening to this, any of the football club, they'd be saying, "Well, you have some respect that we're trying our best." Well, I think we're entitled.
Well, they're not, are they? They're not.
But we also think, if they are trying their best. Like me when I go to work as a journalist, like you when you go to work in your new job as a journalist, Matt, all of those things, if you don't perform to a certain degree, you will be sacked. You will not do that job for long, or you'll get moved on to somewhere else, or you'll have to go further down the ladder to do something else where you don't get paid as much as you get paid now. Every single thing that you're used to in life, in work, that does reflect itself in Everton. Why should they be entitled to carry on doing certain things for this football club when they're failing? They are failing. And look, it's a dog eat world, yes. Most industries are. Ours is, isn't it, Matt? I mean, you look at the amount of times we've tried to get in somewhere and it just hasn't happened and you've had to go again and again and again. And
it's elite level football, Dave, isn't it? It's not a community club. You know, it's not a non-profit organization or anything. It should be the very best people working with some of the very best athletes at institutions. No,
but
should...
the worst thing, but just on that match, sorry to interrupt, but somebody has decided that they are the best people. Somebody has decided that these people are the top of the game. Yet you look at the results, which is ultimately what this business boils down to, and it's not the best people. It's incompetence from so many different directions that you could actually drive yourself crazy. I'm recovering from a stroke, mate. I tell you what, I feel like my head's all over the place most of the time. They feel even worse when I think about Everton.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why. Is there something that we're not aware of? These are the things we used to talk about with Bill Kenwright talking about the football club and the way in which the football club ran. No money. He was looking for more sponsors type of thing. He was looking for finances from all over the world and whatnot. We ended up with Mascheri. All that side of thing, we started thinking, is there stuff behind the scenes that we're not aware of? Is this football club? And there was a lot of things said, wasn't there, about other people across the country. Philip Green, was it? It was that all of that stuff it was associated with, and Peter Johnson before that. You know, we've been to the mill and back, haven't we, with this football club? Let's not.
Well, it's full of, and this is the strong word, but it's full of leeches.
Of course it is.
There are so many people, from people on the playing staff to people on the coaching staff to people on the board, who are leeching off this football club.
Would you say Marcel Brands is a leech?
Of course he is.
Correct.
Well, he is, isn't he? Because...
Well, I don't know, actually.
Well, tell you what, Dave, if he's doing the director of football role in its traditional way and he's got control over these things, he's just doing terribly at it, then no, he's not. But we know really that's not the case, don't we? He is someone who is a director of football, who sits on the board, which no other director of football I'm aware of in world football does. And that is really the sum of his role, isn't it? You know, the players that come in for the last few years have been from the manager, the academy structure. It just seems like they're moving deck chairs on the Titanic. John Eberle and David Unsworth have got different job titles every week. They're bringing in former players as coaches and stuff like that. But and again, this we're saying this and we use this terminology because no one knows what he does. He's effectively an empty suit who is there, and no one quite knows what he does. But then you look at the playing staff and it's absolutely full. You know, people who are taking a wage off this football club who just do not deserve it. And they're here because a lot of them are here because of gross mismanagement of people above them or up the food chain. And it does go all the way up to the top, and it does go all the way up to Farah Moshiri. And like you said, I think now is a good time to talk about what's happened today. Yeah. In regards to, I think obviously there's anger at the game last night, like we've spoken about. People, I don't think anyone really expected the manager to get sacked, but I think it would have been a good time potentially with a tough run of fixtures coming up, but another home game coming up, which Everton have probably got a better chance of winning, to get someone in front of a camera on the club's official channel, say, this is what's happening, things haven't been good, these are the mistakes, this is how we're going to fix them, we need you here to stay with us, stay on side, we're going to get, try and put this, try and put something out there that is going to unite people going into this tough run of fixtures. And listen, if they'd done that, people still would have probably had a bit of a go, but there would have been some accountability there and there would have been some explanation there. And I think people would have been a bit more willing to get behind the situation and get behind the team going into Monday. Yeah. Instead, going and sending a text message. And, I've seen people saying, oh, maybe he wasn't aware that a text between him and Jim White would have been broadcast on the radio. That's not how it works, is it? If you're in the industry, Dave, he would have known that was on the record, wouldn't he, when he sent that? 100%. He would have known it was going to get read out as a kind of statement. But to go to a national radio station to provide that statement, I think Adam wrote a piece in The Echo about it, and it's absolutely right. Can't think of a better way to describe it. It is a slap in the face to supporters. Yes. We've gone to Goodison Park tonight and watched that and experienced that. And I've woken up today, nothing on the official channels. Instead, they get a text message to a presenter on a national radio station. It's just, it is an appalling way to communicate with supporters in what are dire times for the football club.
Couldn't have worded it any better. And just to add to, not just him, but Brands, the people who are responsible for all this or are supposed to be responsible. The trail of thought I've been down in the last 24 hours or so, it seems, if you think of Moshiri's the blame, you think Brands is the blame, you still think Bill Kenwright is, obviously entitled to that view, but it's one of two answers for me, for each of those individuals. The CEO, Denise as well, they either have the job that we all think they've got and they tell us they've got, and what, if you go on the website itself and look at Marcel Brands's CV, it tells you what his role is, and it's recruitment and it's academy and it's everything to do with footballers and stuff like that, and he either does that and he's completely woeful at it, or if he doesn't do it, he's happy to sit there and continue doing it in the way in which he's doing it now, which is quite pathetic, or not being given the role in which he wants to do, but yet he's on the board and is DOF and can sit there receiving money to the point where nobody has decided that he's not good enough and needs to be sacked. The difficulty in that is he's on the board. He'll make part of that decision if they want to get rid of him. He's not going to say yes if that's the case. Moshiri himself, he can decide what he wants to decide. Well, what are you doing, mate? This 8% thing or whatever it is, the communication thing, it absolutely stinks. We've said it for a long, long time with this guy. Yet, there's been nothing that's improved. There's been nothing that has led him to, like this on Monday, the daddy's coming home type of thing on Monday against Arsenal. When he rocks up, I tell you what, he'll get a lot of rubbish on Monday, and probably rightfully so, because if you start from the top and you think, well, okay, well, that's the only way things change is by him making a decision that's above the responsibility of the other people in the board. So he needs to learn what is happening here on a serious level. Otherwise, I mean, I can't imagine a scenario where he's sitting there reading the newspapers, reading the Echo and stuff like that. He's going to pick up his phone, ring whoever on the board and say, oh, Marcel, this is really bad. You know, the fans are kicking off. Was it bad at Goodison last night? Blah, blah. He gives whatever crap he wants to say back to him to say, you know what?
Dave, I don't even think lines of communication like that are open, honestly.
No, I agree. And that's, you know, that's worse than what I've just said. But even if he's told by people he's decided that on this board, there's a level at which there's somewhere along the lines of when you tell him something, he believes what you say. Do you know what I mean? If you own a business, if anything you own, our business here, our little mini business, the Blue Room, if something happens that we don't like, or the people or fans, or I hate to say the word customers, but people who pay to use our Patreon sort of thing, and they don't like a particular thing somebody said on it, we're going to take a responsibility for that. We're going to say, okay, well, obviously it's not what we thought, which is what we like to say all the time. We're as open as it gets. You know, you want to say, make a comment, you make your comment, that's your comment. It's not the Blue Room's comment or my comment or your comment, it's theirs. But there's a responsibility for us to have the content we sort of put out to fans who want to listen to us. Now, you know, if part of what we've done is crap or whatever, or something is said on here and we don't like that they've said it, or we disagree with them, it's a disagreement and we leave it as it is. But at a football club, if you own a football club and there's a part of it that is completely ridiculous, the way in which Everton are right now, why on earth is the man that makes money from this not sorting anything out? Why does he think that these are still the people he wants there to get Everton in the right direction? And yet we're told repeatedly that this guy, when we recruit players, he's obviously has a part in on it, because we heard when we got, Ancelotti? We've heard from several people, decent sources, that have said that Brands wasn't in favour of bringing him in as the manager. Well, that's when it's convenient for the owner to say, do you know what, this is my decision. We're going with him. You're going to have to, you know, sort it out yourself. You're going to have to speak to him and carry on making a decent going of what you're doing in this football club. Well, that's fine. But when it comes to the crunch, which is what this is right now, let's face it, you know, looking at a relegations battle, which is exactly what we're at right now. What are we, 5-6 points? And I think Burnley have got a game in hand in eighth place. Where is he then? Where is he as the most important point? Yes, that's a very important decision, getting a new manager in, getting players in. Why does he pull rank in that situation? Is that because, oh, do you know what? I own this. Like, if someone says that to him, he'd probably turn around and go, oh, you're cheeky. I own this football club. I'm entitled to do what I like. Well, yeah, fair enough, mate. I appreciate that you probably have that question of people when they ask you something like that. But then when I put the question back to you, when Everton are going to defence right now, what are you doing? I'll ask the board. I'll ask the people I've employed here. Well, that doesn't wash, does it? Doesn't make sense in any shape or form.
You just, when I saw that statement today, my immediate thought was, this fella's just so out of touch.
Massively. Everything. Do you think he's arsed?
Will he still be making money from the club eventually? I don't really know. I'm not really into the finances, but I just saw that, and the way in which it was done, obviously, as a text message to a journalist on national radio, and the content of it as well, Dave, and how it was all framed around the manager. And listen, Benitez is, we've said it all week leading up to this game, is he a problem at Everton? Yeah. Is he the biggest problem? Absolutely not. And I think fans have gone on to that. Now, there's no real
anger. He's been a pasty as well, Matt. He's a bit of somebody who, those people there at the club again, and part of last night, sorry to interrupt you, but when people are talking about him and the situation that's wrong with the football club. I think it's short-sighted just to simply say Rafa Benitez shouldn't be Everton manager, because you can say these about managers that have maybe done half decent at some point, like Silva did up until some point, like, you know, other managers that we've had at Koeman when he's got us into Europe that first season that was half decent or whatever it is. You know, when people are talking about that, that's when it's not as much of an issue as this becomes. Yet, you want to just blame simply, once again, the manager, when there's so many levels above him that we could have a two-hour podcast right now and not even get into the tactics of what Rafa Benitez did wrong. Yes, we want to do that. Yes, we want to talk about that. Yes, I want to be a football club that talks about those football things, football pitch things, but we're not. The main things we're talking about are why this football club is falling apart, and it's because what's above him. And from that perspective, and people will say, shut up, Dave, do one, Dave, whatever, but I feel sorry for him. I actually feel sorry for him. Watching him sit next to Big Dunk last night and trying to figure things out, maybe change the systems, whatever it is he's got in his head to try and change things, Rondon, whoever, bring one of the kids on. All that, I'm looking, I'm thinking, do you know what, mate? It's just not going to work. Why is it not going to work? Because what you've been dealt when you've done this thing, because you're obsessed with football. That's why you manage football, because you love it. You absolutely love it. You've said these things before. People have interviewed you. You are obsessed with being a football manager. That is actually not the best thing for you right now, mate. Do you know what I mean? This is going to be a really difficult time for you. And yes, some of it, you making a certain change, you putting Cenk Tosun on in a football match. Yes, that's an issue I want to talk about. Yes, that's a problem. Rafa, why are you doing that? Why are you not putting on one of the kids who maybe can do a little bit better and have a decent run? And the first thing they're doing in their career is playing in a Merseyside derby. That's a big thing. You know, Anthony Gordon, similar. All of that sort of stuff. You know, why aren't you doing that instead? And I can sit here and talk about things till we're blue in the face. But the reason he's got the issues he's got are not... The first reason why is because of how poor the things are that are above him, not the things that he's actually doing.
Well, that's why he's here in the first place, isn't it? As well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's it. It's why Big Sam was here, wasn't it? You know, it's that same feeling once again. And near 4 years on, and things have gotten worse to the point where, you know, is it beyond the idea that you'd see him back in the chair again at some point? Nothing surprises me anymore, Matt.
Big Sam Remontada.
Big Sam what?
Big Sam Remontada. Spanish word for comeback.
I don't like that one, mate. You'll have to
listen. Oh, God.
But yeah, that's my point there. There are so many different levels that you want to blame in this football club. Are you going to go along the Benitez line? Sadly, that
it's
makes
all
it...
bad. It's all bad.
Well, exactly. It is, Matt. But the thing that separates fans here. Look, we've just had something come into us. I don't know if you've seen this yet on the Blue Room Twitter about potentially doing some sort of protest thing where, you know, every fan group, all the different fan groups who are all really good, all really great at what they do. We're all big fans of them. Good people who work on them all. Maybe trying to put something together where, you know, we approach the football club before a match in sort of protest and things like that. But and which is a good idea as far as I'm concerned, because fans are entitled to do that. You know, as we know across the park, they've done it with their owners in the past, where things have been really, really difficult for them for obviously different reasons. And I applaud that. But I also ask, where are we pointing this? Where do we point this? There'll be people who want to point it at Bill Kenwright. There'll be people who want to point it at Moshiri. Everything we've done in this chat that we've had tonight, you know, they'll want to put it towards brands. Denise will be thrown in there. All every single facet you think that is wrong with this football club. And that is the real most worrying thing for me, is we're not talking about a particular direction we can go in. Don't, you know, in terms of Kenwright, when the protests come in for that, for him, when the protests come in for Peter Johnson, individual people you don't want at your football club, that if they go, things will improve. We're worse than that. We don't have that. That doesn't exist.
It's not like a Mike Ashley situation, is it? Where there's this one figurehead who was sort of people can direct the, you know, the ire towards.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I'm saying. So in the position we're in right now, you will have typically people who want to say, I don't want Bill Kenwright anywhere near this football club. He's still the chairman. Well, in face, by the way it is with Moshiri owning it, I want him gone. Okay, let's do that then. Let's give you what people want. Get rid of Bill Kenwright. What happens to the club then? Nothing changes, in my opinion. I don't think anything changes if that happens, if you get rid of him. Then you start looking at further up that line. Okay, that's not going to work. What else do you want, guys? What else do I want? What do you want, Dave? Brands, I don't think Brands should be doing the job that he does, because I don't think he's good enough, and I think he's far too involved in things that he possibly shouldn't be involved in, i.e. being on the board, director of football, the way that works. You know much better than me about that, and there are obviously big football fans who know much more about me who've researched that sort of thing. Do I want him there? Probably not. Okay, Dave, we'll get rid of the Brands. Does that solve everything? No, it doesn't solve everything. It solves a few things. The recruitment, maybe. The academy, the way that works. Okay, next one down the line. Who do you want to get rid of? I want to get rid of David Unsworth. Why? Okay, well, we've got no young players coming through because he treats the under-23s and all of the academy teams like he manages a football club. And he's not looking at who the players are. He's more looking at, can the team win? Can they put 10 men behind the ball and get a 1-0 result, rather than somebody who's going to rip the opposition apart and be a top-class young lad who gets a game and moves on to the first team? That's a perfectly valid thing to think. Okay, let's get rid of him. How does that change things? Well, it probably does. But
you can't really get all that on a banner, can you, Dave?
Well, no, but it's not going to... Yeah, but it's also that's not going to come to fruition until a couple of years down the line, when if you're starting to recruit young players, who you want in there because of how they play, not because of how the team is any good. And that's when, ultimately, I hope people are starting to think, when I'm moving to the next one and the next one and the next one, that, I think, shows you the predicament we all have, is that there'll be a lot of us who broadly agree with what's wrong with the club. Yes, the board. What's the board? All of these people we've spoken about tonight, right? You've binned a lot of them. Is it possible to bin a lot of them? I don't even know if that is possible or even legal, because they've got shares, they've got jobs.
Some of them are on the board.
What?
Some of them are on the board.
Well, no, you know, that's what I mean. A lot of them. Do you know what I mean? There'll be people who come on. Again, if we do that spacious thing, whenever it is, the next time we do it, we ask that question to people out there. Who would you like to get rid of? Many people will come on and say a lot of them. Is that possible? I don't know. I don't know if it's possible to completely get rid.
Well, it's not, is it? It's not possible.
It's not, Rob. It's not at all, because there is obviously shareholders. There'll be people who have shares. I'm pretty sure Brands might well have shares. In order to get rid of them as well, you have to pay them out. So that's a lot of money you'd have to put out as well. So I hope I'm trying to create this picture, very bleak one, that is. Mm. You know, the yes, we all want this changed. We all want various different things with people out and people to change up and different things to happen. So whatever happens on the pitch is the thing that comes from the top and they start to fix it. But I have to admit, Matt, I don't know which situation you go down here, other than the only comment I've made, and that is it's down to Moshiri, because he's the only person who can change it. If he wants to bin Brands, if he rang up tonight and say, I want you sacked, I don't want you anymore, this isn't working, goodbye. Could he do that? Yes, he could. You know, could he get rid of Denise if he wanted to? Yes, he could. Bill, you've sat on this board for years, mate. No idea what you're doing now, but, you know, a lot of fans are angry about this. And, you know, it's time to release the club. It's time to get rid of your train set, as the saying used to go. Goodbye, Bill. Can he do that? Yes, he can. Mm. But he'll keep his shares, won't he? He's got some, still got some shares and stuff like that. But you're not on the board any longer, right? Okay, let's do that. And that's the only guy I can see who's going to do anything. But then the other side that is, I've just watched them send the text message in to Jim White and tell me what's going to happen, and we're not going to sack the manager. oh, Farhad, cheers for letting us know that, lad. You know, go back to playing golf or being in your yacht, whatever it is you are, and the other businesses that you've obviously well within your rights to carry on taking care of, and going with your 8% towards Everton that you can't be asked doing anything else for. That, to me, is what our problem is the man that owns the football club doesn't seem to be willing to come forward and say, do you know what? The fans are right here, which they are, by the way. Fans are right. The fans are absolutely spot on to say that there are people who make decisions in this football club who should not be doing them for the football club. And, you know, even if you go about it in a typical business-like way, are they doing the job correctly? Like, if I went into work tomorrow and somebody said to me, are you doing your job properly, Dave? And I said, do you know what? I can't. I'm sick, like I've been. Well, Dave, you can't work while you're sick, mate. Go home and have a rest and get better. Well, it's the same thing. It's the exact same thing, but it's a glorified thing because it's a football club and it's a football business in the Premier League of people who are very well paid, you know, people who have ownerships of certain different things outside of football. That's how boards work. Is it really that difficult? My answer is no. If he wants to fix this, he can fix this. So as far as I'm concerned, yes, we've spoken for nearly an hour now on who we think is to blame, who we think needs to go, who we think needs to change things. We've spoken for a long time about that. Who's the person that can change them? Us rocking up there with a protest, it's a big thing. It's a good thing for fans to do. It's a positive thing for people to do. A protest, the thing that they're not happy with. Absolutely. I'm right alongside with them. I'll go there with them. Right? Happy to do that. But the book comes to the guy who owns the football club. It's his thing, sadly. And he is the one who makes the changes if he wants to make them. Rather than texting Jim White saying that the manager's going to stay. He must sit there and look at that game from last night and think, this is the issue, the manager. The fans aren't happy with the manager. Can you imagine the nonsense that he's given in messages via the people who want to stay on the board?
They're not having a go at you, mate. Don't worry. It's not your fault.
What I mean is, if he messages, he gets his paper out in his yacht, whatever he is, or the golf course, when he's got a little 5-iron to play in, looks at the papers, oh, God, we got beat again here. This isn't good. The fans are kicking off. I'm going to call Brands. Brands, what's going on, mate? Well, I bet you now completely he will have said, well, you know, the team's not doing great. Rafa wasn't my decision to get in. I think it was yours or whoever it was. You know, the reason why things aren't working is because of this. But I bet you pound to a penny, he's never going to say, I'm the problem. It's something I haven't done well. And that's the bottom line. Once again, Matt, people who are responsible, will they take accountability for what they're doing wrong? Absolutely not. They will not. And whilst Moshiri's sitting away from things, isn't sitting there knowing what's going on when the board talks, whenever they have conversations within the board's room, all that sort of thing, when he's told what has gone on in those, is he willing to make a decision based on somebody saying, no, that's not my fault? Well, no, he's not, because they're still there. The football club's still doing really, really badly. And this is how it continues. This is how it's going to continue until he ultimately gets in his head that the issue at the football club is the only thing he can change. And sadly, all of us as fans going there to protest, stuff like that, all to the power, absolutely spot on what we all should do. But we can't change things. We can't change things. We can make people aware. We can make big channels aware. We can make all the national media aware. Can we make the change? No. Will that guy listen? Well, I'm guessing no, because he's not. It's not too difficult to find out what fans think right now, is it?
No, I think you're spot on. And I think it's, you know, the stuff about protests, obviously it's very early days yet, that, isn't it? And like you said, I've seen a few of the messages and stuff like that. And, you know,
I mean, this
isn't us saying the Blue Room backs the protest, because like you said, we have many different people on this who come on and do their own voices. But it's something I'd be up for going down for. You said yourself that there will be, and I'm sure there'll be people who come on this show and listen to this show who feel the same. But I just feel, Dave, and I think Les was talking about this in one of the on one of the shows or in one of the WhatsApps. It just feels like the fan base has just been battered for so long and are so worn down. And it is such an, you know, there's people who are obviously angry, but it feels like there's so many who are just apathetic. You know, you look at the pictures of the ground last night after that fair goal went in and how empty it was. It just feels like this, people have had the spark and the joy and the passion sort of beaten out of them and ground out to them down the years. I think if there's something to do with a protest doing the rounds over the next few days, I even though things are desperate at the moment, we've got all these issues. I don't know how many people get down there and do it. I honestly don't. Cause I just feel like people are just so fed up of it. They're increasing number of people. Who just they're increasing number of people who just don't care. We've seen stuff with the fans before, and this isn't me having to go a pop at supporters, by the way, because I feel like this. I feel ground down by them, and I feel let down by them, and I feel apathetic towards them. I mean, I've never left a game as early as I did last night, but I didn't feel bad about it or anything, because it's just the state we're in. But the fan base is not one to mobilise and do things. You know, we've seen things down the years, haven't we, with regards to the group of lads who tried to get the atmosphere going in the stadium, and after a while there's a little flurry behind it, and then it fades away. And every time we have one of these things, which is to do with improving things in the ground, potential people protesting against people at the top of the football club, it all just fizzles out because the fan base is dormant and the enthusiasm's gone and apathy has truly set in. And I sort of feel like the only way that something like that's going to happen is if we are in deep, deep peril. And people might say now we're in that, but I think you've got to be looking at a situation where 10 games to go, we are right in the mire. And we haven't, we've obviously been in this position quite a few times in recent years under Moshiri, where we've been either in the relegation zone or tentatively just above it. But we haven't been in that position yet with 10 games to go where you're thinking, fucking hell, this is really, really scary now. This is terrifying. And maybe we might get there this season. I don't know. But it feels to me it's going to take something like that, some real fear and some real genuine peril of this football club going into the Championship before the supporters are sort of are awakened from this dormant slumber that the football club's put us in for so many years.
Yeah. Just to react to what you're saying there is, you know, am I willing to be along the people who protest this football club? Well, yes, I'm a season ticket holder. I pay money to go to watch Everton. Absolutely right, I am. Yes, I support that. Do I support that act? Is it asked to me on a survey question by the club, which would be quite ironic, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I would say yes, I am in favour of protest towards how this football club is running right now. Absolutely, yes. Where I feel quite a little bit different to what you've said, Matt, is... and maybe similar to one extent, really, is that when you do that, when you make that action, when you get, and I think Lee from the Bullens, who've done that fantastic banner that was in there, that's been there, it was at Brentford as well. Yeah, again, great work, brilliant from the lads. That's exactly what many of us feel at that football club. He said yesterday, he put a comment, something along the lines of, you know, I just hope I just wish it would make a difference. And it does make a difference. It makes a difference to us as fans. Do you want to see that? Do you want your fans, your fellow fans of Everton to do that? Yes, absolutely. Because this football club, for far too long, for decades, certainly as long as I've been alive, Matt, has been ran similar to this. Possibly this is the worst it is right now, the way in which it's being run. Many people will say it is. Many people will say, no, it was much worse under Peter Johnson. Whatever. However you want to talk about it, it's crap. It's shit right now how it's run. So, yeah, absolutely do I support it. Yes. What the thing that makes it difficult for me, not to do it, by the way, because like I said, I'd be on board, but what the difficult thing is, is similar to what you said there in, you know, I just only wish it made a difference. It makes a difference to us as fans, yes, because what it does is it proves that the football club is just not what we want to be, our football club, because they won't react. They'll know what the problem is. They know what the problem is, which makes you even more furious right now to what is not happening. Things are not changing. The club, the team is getting worse. And that makes you feel even worse. It makes you feel even more sad that this is the situation, because we can scream like yesterday, the people who did it, everyone who's at the ground, everyone who watched it at the TV at home, if they couldn't make it to Goodison last night, are screaming to Lib Blue in the face at what they think is wrong with this club, that they don't like what is happening there. Are they going to change it because fans don't like it? Well, it doesn't look like they are. And that is the main problem. So don't ever think that it doesn't matter. And this is probably my message to Lee. Don't ever think that it doesn't matter, or it, you know, you wish it made a difference. Yes, I wish if we went and protested about the board, they all left, or something changed, or they said, you know what, we're right, here's what we're going to do differently, or something that could possibly make a difference of us getting better. That, to me, is nothing that's going to change. But it's important that we've done it, because as fans, that is the football club we are. We're what that football club should be. The fans that want the best from Everton. The NSNO stuff that is now, unfortunately, a cliche, isn't it, of a long time ago.
Oh, God, yeah.
That is what we want. Are the people who are responsible for that going to change it? Sadly, no. But I tell you what, I feel a hell of a lot better that fans have decided to take action against this, because does it change? Probably not. Should it change? Absolutely. You know, if it doesn't, at least we've tried, and we're still Everton. We're the Everton we want. And at the end of the day, sadly, the way football is these days, the way businesses are run, the way football's run on money, ultimately, it's going to be what the guy who owns the football club decides to do. That just seems to be giving a reply to Jim White deciding the managerial situation. It's not even as bad as the managerial situation. No. It's worse.
No, it's heavy, isn't it? We haven't even spoken about anything to do with a ball being kicked last night. But I'm not even going to go into it. I've done all that. We're just quickly around.
The match.
Let's say they got levered by a much better team, didn't they?
The result from that match. I know we'd all be happy and, you know, like all the Liverpool fans are doing, take the piss through the agent, Rafa shouts and all that stuff. That's fine. That's what football fans do.
We'd do the same, wouldn't we? Obviously, if we were in that situation.
Yeah, imagine what we're saying. Oh, you know, Rafa's turned into a blue and all this stuff. We'd be absolutely taking the piss like we all were last year when we won at Anfield for the first time in 20 years, you know. Everybody's taking the piss because that's what football fans do. No problem with that whatsoever. And the game itself, sadly, it was just a non-event. But I think many people who are listening to us now, the people who listen to our pods, the other guys from all the other pods and all of the big shows, which are brilliant, you know, listening to us and hearing where we are in a position of what the football club is, this has been needed. And it continues to be needed until something changes, Matt. And if it doesn't change, I guarantee I'll still be here as long as I can be, and you will, talking about the main issues of what's wrong with this football club, because that's what matters. And unfortunately, it matters much more than who the manager is or who the players are, because that will only change by the big stuff we've spoken about changing. And we have to stay in line with each other.
Yeah, we'll do our best. Let's quickly wrap up some comments we had in, Dave. Sort of asked how Everton go forward after this. Harry Watt said, I think Benitez is, if lucky, we'll get the next four to save his job. Arsenal, Palace, Chelsea and Leicester. Considering Leeds and Southampton have got quite nice weekend fixtures, we could be 16th going into the Arsenal game, and our worst run of form this century. It doesn't bode well.
By the way, that's on paper the easier fixture of all the ones we've got leading up.
Yeah, I know. We've got Silent Blue Giants, Mashiri, that is good for it, and Jim White know that nothing is changing. What's the point in hoping for any of us as a supporter? The owner is clear about his stance, and that's that. Patrick Ridge just said, fold, ideally. Would it be averse to that, mate? I think Keith said as well last night, the only solution at the moment is a big tub of gasoline and some matches. Maybe that's just where we need to go next, just burn it all to the ground. We've got Michael Potter saying, if you give Benitez money in January, you need to keep him for the length of his contract, or we are even more idiotic than I thought. I'm in favour of giving him no money, to be clear. Phil Howarth, hope you're doing well, mate. There's legs recovering from that big charity challenge, saying we need a video. We did a video of sit-down interviews with all the board members addressing the failures, and we need communication regarding a plan moving forward. And we'll do one more.
You got more chance of Santa giving you your presence in person on the 25th this month.
No chance, absolutely no chance of that happening. And the last one.
You've got more chance of Machiri coming down.
Got more chance of doing an interview with the club. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe the club are like that. What do you want for Christmas if you work at Everton Football Club? I'd like to talk to me boss, please, mate.
Oh, God. Let's do this one as well. From Joe. So my biggest fear is that the club don't seem to think anything needs to change, at least barring the manager. Brands even needs to have autonomy and control, or he needs to leave. But Benitez needs to eventually be...
I don't know, does he? That's the problem. We don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I'm comfortable with that.
With what him going?
Complete control of stuff. Because has he got a backbone there? I don't know. Because he seems to be happy sitting... He'll be making a big amount of money.
I was saying last night, Dave, he's effectively the director of football equivalent of a third-choice goalie. Like Scott Carson or Richard Wright when they were at Man City. They were just sort of there... Yeah, knowing they were never really going to have a say or any kind of tangible impact on anything, but just being there, getting all the club gear, being around the place every day, taking a salary, but not really doing anything that's really important or in regards to the weekend.
Of course you get, isn't it?
Yeah, and also just finish off Joe's point saying Bill Kenwright needs to go, Denise Barrett-Baxter needs to go, David Unsworth needs to go as well. Yeah, and Robbie, 1878, and I could set the building on fire with a gift there as well. So that's where we are. Dave, I think it's heavy, isn't it, mate?
It is, and I keep in mind as we're going through this, Matt, that success, the point you made about success, it's just so bang on. If people haven't watched that yet, there's something you need to do before Christmas, by the way, or over Christmas when you've got some time away from work or whatever, and you're watching your telly, go and watch that.
Logan Roy in charge of Everton would be wonderful, to be fair. Just telling everyone to fuck off.
it's a run of the Murdochs, really, isn't it? That's what it's based on.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you right now, if you watch that, I guarantee you to come away with the thought that it's the complete opposite of Everton in many ways, the way in which it's ran, this massive billionaire company. It's a fantastic watch. I'm sure most people have. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Most people will have watched it or know of it. At Everton like it. I can see a lot of similarities amongst watching it every single show I watch, you know.
Yeah.
It is close.
Brutal, mate. Yeah. We've got Arsenal anyway coming up on Monday. I'm sure we'll have loads before that. Feel free, people, to get the thought in as well. You know, maybe I'm completely misreading the room there in regards to the fans. Would people be up for doing something like that? And again, you know, this isn't us saying the Blue Room is going to do a protest, but I'd just be genuinely interested to see whether there'd be an appetite for it or whether, you know, you'd have your 90 minutes of Everton every week and that's sort of it. That's all you want. So get in touch.
No, you're right. I think when you made that point, this is not the Blue Room saying this, because it's people on the Blue Room saying this, because I'm certainly saying it because I'm an Everton fan and I want my football club to be better and not be really bad as it is right now, as simple as that. And fans should be entitled to say what their issue is. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, there'll be other people we have on the show, there'll be other people on other pods who I'm pretty much, it'll be every single person who's a fan will be saying, yes, they will be wanting to see change at the football club. Therefore, they're in support of it, Matt. Whether they can or not, rock up to Goodison and start kicking off.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But what you want for your football club to do is to change and move on and get different people in and whatever it is. Yes, absolutely. Big, massive tick.
Yeah, change needed, 100%, at various levels of the football club. But we'll leave it there today, mate. I'm sure we'll be back over the weekend, won't we, to talk about another disaster probably at some point. But if you haven't listened to the post-match, like I said, just to reiterate, go back and give that a listen. Mose, Matt, and particularly Keith on top form. The table next to us in the pub day last night when we were recording that.
Which boozer was it?
We went to Rigby's after the game. Keith promised the lad working behind the bar to give him a massive tip if he turned the highlights off of the game, because it was on at that point, because obviously we'd all got off early. But the table next to us, I think the other Blues as well, they were just sort of wide-eyed staring at us while Keith was going off on this mad Duncan Ferguson monologue. So, dear me. But we'll leave it there. Thanks for everyone for listening anyway to this week's edition of the Blue Room. We'll be back again over the weekend on Blue Room Extra with Mailbag, with Weekend Preview, as we look ahead to that Arsenal game, and what could be a very interesting Arsenal game with the owner, Farhad Moshiri, in attendance.
It's his old club.
I bet you the Arsenal...
Game, front row.
I think, as Matt Fluss said on the post-match last night, all those Arsenal fans who are desperate for him, we'll have to get more involved in that football club. I bet you they're breathing a big sigh of relief now.
The best thing that could happen to your football.
I'm back, lads. All the build up.
Yeah, with the Wobie as well.
All the build up and all usual places going into that game. Let us know your thoughts on anything to do with Everton. Message us at the Blue Room EFC on Twitter. I'm at Matt J Football. Dave is at David Downey 17. Is it David Downey or Dave Downey on Twitter?
David dot Downey 17. Fucking hell, Matt.
David dot.
No, it's not. It's David Downey 17.
See, you get it wrong yourself. Right. You get it wrong yourself. David Downey 17 at David Downey 17 on Twitter.
The other side of things as well. Obviously, you know everyone who listens about our Patreon. Obviously, it's Christmas coming up. If you want to join us, we'll be doing more and more things. We'll be doing some fun things as well, no doubt, over Christmas. Not just to completely be on the down and listening and talking about the way in which Everton is right now. Obviously, there's a lot of that to discuss and we will continue to, but also we'll be doing some positive stuff and some fun things around Christmas. Everyone loves that period, don't they, with the quizzes and all sorts of things and jumpers and all sorts of fun like that. So we'll be right along those lines as everybody else is in life and try and veer away at times away from the things that are really making us all feel crap right now.
Yeah. like Emerson. But no, stick with us. We'll get through it together. We'll be all over it, whatever happens at the football club, of course. But if you want to join us on Patreon, it's patreon.com/theblueroomextra. Like Dave said, about £1 a week, loads of Everton content as we come up to the busiest part of the season. But that's it from us today. Cheers to Dave and Matt Jones. We'll speak to you again very soon here on the Blue Room.
With the new Chevy Silverado, you might be driving in this, but with the Silverado's redesigned interior and large infotainment screens, it'll feel more like this. Introducing the new 2022 Chevy Silverado. Find new upgrades, find new roads. Chevrolet.
Sports Social Podcast Network.